Okay, so we can start with a question from my side. Do these introductions mean anything? What do they describe? Only something which is very outer, isn't it? Something one has achieved outwardly. Does it in any way indicate the true worth of a human being? I'm asking the question.
To our outer minds, yes.
To the outer mind. But what really is the worth of a human being? We are all living as a human being. What is the worth of a human being? What are the possibilities for a human being?
Unlimited possibilities can come from the mind.
Unlimited possibility. Wherever they come from, but yes. So what are these unlimited possibilities? Can we put a little more clarity and definition to that? Unlimited, yes. Yes, but what? What are those possibilities? Let's put it in a more general way. What is it that we can really aspire for and acquire, or at least what humanity has, human beings have reached ultimately? Because that becomes a human possibility, a realm of human possibility, not really an imagination. Okay. So what is it that human beings have aspired and achieved and arrived at? Maximum. Let's start with minimum. Minimum is roti, kapda, makan, bibi, bachcha, dukan. Okay, that we all know. That's nothing great. Even animals get it.
Yes.
Looking after the family, that's okay. Everybody does it.
Knowledge, no. Going back to the God.
Going back to?
God. Meeting with the God.
Okay, meeting God. And what would that mean?
Realizing that we are God.
It can mean many things. Because God is vast and complex. Everything in a way is God. We can meet God going somewhere up above. We can meet God within. We can meet God in everyone. We can meet God in every element of creation. Yes, that's one possibility. That's the highest. And the lowest is that I look after my body. So from here to there, there is a long journey, and there are many other things in between. And anything other than or beyond meeting God. Now this is a bit of a poser. There have been people who have met God. I mean rare yogis. And we have to take their word. They have taught the way. And there are others who have gone that way and found. Can there be something more than meeting God?
Meeting?
There we can put the word as a self with a capital S, which is another term we are using. What do we do after meeting God and after meeting ourselves? Let's put it like that.
We try to understand who you are and what.
Okay, let's take that we have met God, we have understood who we are.
Surrender.
Huh? Surrender. Surrender is one of the ways we meet. What is the purpose of all this? God created, then we go back and meet God.
To manifest.
That's it. If I meet a very good teacher, master, all-knowing someone, what would I want? Just to meet him, be happy? Or I would like that something of that delight, that power, that wisdom can awaken in me. That love. So that's what is called as manifesting. Okay, so there are two things. One is that I meet. We have already come from that. Meeting him is okay, great, but it'll be absurd if we have come from that, we go back to that and say hello, bye bye, tata. But if that we can receive and express in life, manifestation is the most perfect word, but maybe for many it may be new. Express the God-like nature. God consciousness, God bliss, God power, God wisdom, God love in every detail of our life, or at least in by and large in all our dealings with life. Won't it be wonderful? So it means, broadly speaking, then I'll open to questions. Okay, I'm just setting the tone. So it means that there are two basic ways of living. One is we meet our life without meeting God, and we use the say, I am happy. The same things we are seeking. Love, joy, knowledge, power, same things. Nothing new. And then meeting God and receiving and expressing these things. So there are two kinds of life possibilities before us, also known in the Gita and other places as a double nature. So we have a double self and a double nature. Now we come back to that question about introducing ourselves. So there is a lower self, a lesser self, and a lower nature. The lesser self is, I am being commander Dr. Alok Pandey, XYZ, big biodata, okay? This is the lower self. It is like an instrument. It has its own place. It's not a negation. It has its place in terms of manifesting. Because if I have trained myself well through a certain kind of education, I can either lend my expertise to something very dark, like Shakuni, super brilliant, Harvard graduate, super brilliant, the man who was master strategist. Or the same kind of training which we see in the life of the great avatar Shri Krishna, who gives him finally the checkmate. There are two kinds of option to all our capacities. Either we can put them at the service of the highest, or we can put them at the service of the lowest within us. That possibility is with everyone. When we put them at the service of the lowest, what happens? It starts declining, declining, till it meets its nemesis. It's not a moral lecture. It's a fact of life, and you'll observe it everywhere. The recent Second World War was, I mean, that's the latest one. India and Pakistan got freedom together, and you will see the difference. So we can put whatever has been given to us. All of us have been given something, no? We can be given some intelligence, capacity to love, to enjoy, whatever. Now we can put them at the surface of all that is low and obscure, and slowly, we won't get to know immediately, but slowly it declines and vanishes, and we are left alone like cancer. Or we can put it at the service of the higher, the highest, and all these things begin to blossom into something very different, something divine, for want of a term, the highest. So which is a better path? It's obvious. That question is absurd. You know, even if you ask a child, the child will say. And yet, isn't it a paradox that we put it at the service of dash, dash, dash. There is a letter I received just now before coming. So I'll just share it with general letter. Somebody saw a 12-year-old boy go through a lot of suffering. You know, had meningitis then again. And then is in coma. So was narrating the experience. I said, it's shocking. I said, yes, it is shocking. But there is something more shocking than that. What can be more shocking than that? That we see this all the time in different people's lives around us. And yet, after a few days, we go back chasing the same rainbow dreams. Even when we are hit ourselves, I know people who have been hit by destiny, sadly. It's always unfortunate to see tragedies in life. And yet, the end result of the tragedy was, okay, after a few days, Rona Dona, come back to the same life. So I said, this is much more shocking to me. And that's where you see what marks the difference between a Buddha, the great ones, and the normal human being. We experience the same things, nothing unusual. But we go back to the same old ways which give us pain. Why? Because we think this time it will be joyous. See, Ramakrishna described it as a camel which is eating the thorny bushes in the hope of getting some water. Isn't it strange? A paradox by habit. Is baar to pakka achha hoga. Sabse jyada to ye nahi pata ki achha hoga to that is better or ya bura hoga that is better. Any idea? Any thoughts on this? If life is very pleasant, is that a good thing to happen, or if there are some little bit of blows? Yes.
Yeah. I feel like saying that we
we should chase something bigger is a luxury, because all our basic needs are taken care of, and most people don't want to suffer. They don't want to chase those things, but they have to make a livelihood. And like for everyone sitting here, it really is a privilege and a luxury to be able to even sit and have the time to talk about these things in an AC room where we don't have to like
true. True. And yet the paradox, I'll tell you, if you look at the spiritual history, the paradox that all who realized, except one or two, one of them exception is Bhule Shah, who came from a very rich family, most of them came from very, very ordinary backgrounds, not poor, whether it's Rai Das, if you read the spiritual history, Krishna again is an exception. Shorabindo didn't know whether next meal he will get or not, despite being a graduate from Cambridge. This is very true. But look at the paradox that many who realized going through all the challenges of life. Surdas is blind. Tulsidas has been divorced, not divorced. There were no divorces. Abandoned by his wife, saying, "You are an idiot." Kalidas was thrown out of his palace. Mirabai was abandoned. I could count names. You go back to the Sophocles, Socrates, Plato, all of them, challenging times. So perhaps we have missed something. Why does it happen? Because when we chase, as you said, we are lucky to have things. We don't know really. We don't know. Sometimes when we have too many things, we have not faced the challenge of life, questions don't arise, seeking doesn't arise, and luxury has its own flip side. Makes us so used to a comfort zone that by the time we are in our comfort zone that now I can sit and meditate, I feel, so lovely this is. Let me just rest. What you say is true. It should happen like that. Alas, it's not common. And when it happens, then your life changes. That life is left behind. As I was saying, Bhule Shah. You have heard about Bhule Shah? No? Are Bhule Shah? बेशक मंदिर मस्जिद तोड़ो भुले शाह ये कहता प्यार भरा दिल कभी न तोड़ो इस दिल में दिलबर रहता. यू हैव नॉट सीन बॉबी. ओके बॉबी इज ओल्ड साउंडिंग लाइक एन ओल्ड फैशन मैन. ओके भुले शाह सॉन्ग वॉज हाईजैक बाई बॉलीवुड एंड टर्नड इन टू समथिंग मोस्ट कॉमन प्लेस. डू यू रिमेंबर अ सॉन्ग छैया छैया सॉन्ग. सो दैट सॉन्ग इज Anybody remembers the song? Are ye to famous song tha?
But I don't know the words. You know it.
Tere ishq.
Huh?
Tere ishq ne na chaya karke chaya chaya. And it's the woman usual, you know, dancing and, you know, this song is written by Bhule Shah. And what he writes, he says that your sword is cutting me to pieces. All the unspeakable difficulties have entered my life. And with each drop of blood, I am dancing to delight. Karke thaiya, thaiya, karke thaiya, thaiya. It has nothing to do with a woman dancing to please men. He was, because of his choice, he wanted higher knowledge. And he came from the family of Prophet Muhammad. So it was considered that, why you will seek? You already have a religion. He says, no, that doesn't satisfy me. I want to seek more. So he goes and there is a saint who is known as a saint who is, you know, plucking something from one place and putting another. You know, during farming you'd have to do, you know. Haan. To usko kehta hai, mujhe gyan chahiye. Pehle to uske parivar wale, the family members say, don't do this, bejati hogi, naak kategi, you come from this lineage. And he said, I can't help it, this is not giving me, satisfying me what I am seeking. So he goes there. And he says, I want wisdom. And the man looks at him and goes about doing his work. He waits and waits and waits. Finally he says, sir, I want true knowledge from you. He says, aren't you observing for a long time? What am I doing? You know what he says? He says in Punjabi, athe chug, athe rakh. Pick up your consciousness and concentration from here and put it there. That's all you have required. For this you have come to me. Then he gets this wisdom. They just have to shift your consciousness. That's all. You don't have to go through very long learning lessons. If I can do it, my life would change. And his life did change. He became one of the greatest mystics. So there is a whole world to explore beyond the four walls of our comfort zones. And when that aspiration is lit, then yoga begins in the truest sense. Okay, so this is just a background. Please come with your questions. I'm sorry, I have asked the question instead. Yes, please. Any question? Anything?
My question was, I've been listening to a lot of your videos. The question is, the mother essentially often goes knowledge, wisdom, meditations. How do you transfer it into a simple daily life which actually improves your relationships, your life condition, your state, the daily practice? So I also practice Buddhism. There's a, you know, number one daily. So how that's something I absolutely am in love with the philosophy.
Right. So we start with this very thing, the very first. We'll connect with this. What does Bulesha learn? Athechug Atirak. Pick up from here and put it there. What do you pick up? All the threads of your consciousness, all the things that are there in your life, all that you have been doing, pick them up from the state of egocentricity and place them at the service of the divine. Yajnavalk says the same thing in a different way. When Yajnavalk is, he has two wives, one is, and a very interesting friend, Gargi, who is a Vidu, you know, she is a Veda, Veda knower, Gargi. But his wives are Katyayani and Maitreyi. So once he decides that I want to go and I want to lead my life in quiet meditation, and he divides his property equally between the two. And Katyayani is happy. He says, I know you have, whatever you have lived, I am fine with it. Maitreyi says, I don't want this. I said, what do you want? I have nothing else to give. He said, no. I want from you that knowledge which you have gained. And then she phrases the question, why does one love the wife? Why does one love the child? Why does one love the country? And so on and so forth. The same question, but in a slightly different language. And Yajnavalk's answer is, one loves the wife, not for the sake of the wife, but for the sake of the self. One loves the child, not for the sake of the child, but for the sake of the self. One loves the country, not for the sake of the country, but for the sake of the self. Now, self is small s or big s. Ordinarily, all our relationships are directed towards ego satisfactions. We live to satisfy our ego. My wife should satisfy my ego. My husband should fulfill my desires and ego. My child must satisfy my ego, bring me name and fame. And so on and so forth. Now, if I just change it into the greater self, the wife that is given to me, she belongs to the divine. Will I care less or will I care more? The child that is given to me is not meant just to mera naam karega roshan jag mein mera raj dulara. He must fulfill what he is destined to do. So I'll deal with him that way. The country, it's not just because it's my country I should be egoistically patriot. All the Germans in Second World War were very patriots. All the Rakshasas who fought for Ravan in the Lanka war, Ram Ravan Yudh, were patriots. But there is always something still greater, higher. From that standpoint, how I should be in my life. This is the only change. Athechugatherak. Pick up from here, put it there. That's all that is required. Nothing has to be left abandoned. It's not a technique. Now that's the other part. How do I do it? We think of a technique. We all, I'm sure at some point have realized, you may sit in a very, very well-known pose of meditation, Padmasana, and concentrate. What happens next? You can sit here. Hey, comfortable. So, what happens then? When we sit, what happens then? Honest answers. Exactly. That's it. Why does it wander and where does it wander? It wanders on all the objects. आंखें बंद करने से मन थोड़ी बंद होता है वो तो घूमता है ऑफ कोर्स विद ग्रेट 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 प्रैक्टिस एट सम पॉइंट यू कैन मेक द माइंड क्वाइट लेकिन देयर इज द ट्रिक व्हाट डज द माइंड वांडर अपॉन व्हेन द आईज आर क्लोज्ड एंड यू आर सिटिंग इन लोटस पोस्चर it wanders on the object that it cherishes. See the paradox. So what is more important? Changing the aim or closing the eyes and sitting in a particular posture? Obvious answer, no? So this changing the aim is called as aspiration. What am I seeking? Through God, through sitting quietly, by meditation. All these practices are good. I am not saying they are not good. In a normal life, you need to be quiet and all this helps you to chill and still and get back. But what? It will not lead to the spiritual life. That's a different thing altogether. It will give some peace. And peace is very good. Okay? Kale kleshe thodi shanti mil jaye, bahut acha hai. But it is not yet the spiritual life. There is a place where mother says one may practice Raj Yoga and Hatha Yoga and may not be spiritual at all. And the classic example is Ravan. He did all kinds of yoga practices. Ant mein kya manga usne? He manga na ki main isse na maru, usse na ye na ho. Bhagwan ko to manga nahi. He didn't ask. So what matters is the aim that we have put forth in whatever we are pursuing. That gives us the clue. If I am making the house well, beautiful, it is not because people would come and say, ah, so lovely house. It's not even that I'll be very comfortable in it. Imagine that you are making your house for the residence of the divine, that shift inside. Or someone whom you deeply love, you are cooking for that person. Will there be a difference in your inner consciousness or not? So, rang to yehi lata hai. You're cooking. But you're cooking for, yes, just a moment. So when you're cooking with a completely different, it is the motive. See, this is the fundamental difference in Indian thought and the Western thought with regard to jurisprudence. I'm coming to that. If you read carefully, you will see. Act, now it has come all over the world. There's something called as actus reia and something called as mens reia. Act is more important or the motive is more important, the consciousness is more important. Again, answer is little nutty, but by and large obvious. Isn't it? So it is the motive of a life. Same activities we are doing. Everything is same. You see in the ashram, you'll see people doing the same things. People sometimes ask, where is the meditation hall? So you have to say, brother, there is no official meditation hall. You know, ashram doesn't have an official meditation hall. पर लोगों से पूछो कि क्या कर रहे हो साहब जॉय में क्यों कर रहे हो जॉय कहां से आ रहा है मां के लिए कर रहे हैं माता जी के लिए कर रहे हैं दैट्स ऑल दे नो दैट मेक्स द वर्ल्ड ऑफ डिफरेंस दैट आई एम नॉट डूइंग इट एनी मोर फॉर मनी फॉर माय फैमिली फॉर एनीथिंग डूइंग इट फॉर द जॉय ऑफ सर्विंग द मदर एंड दैट ब्रिंग्स द चेंज एंड वन कैन डू इट एनीवेयर वन डजंट नीड टू डू इट इन अ स्पेशल वे स्पेशल वेज हैव देयर ओन मीनिंग क्वाइटनिंग द माइंड इज वेरी गुड But the attitude and the motive is the most important. And we cannot cheat the divine. We can sit and be still for 2 hours. Somebody told Sri Aurobindo, then I'll come to your question, okay? So someone asked Sri Aurobindo, oh, that man meditates so much. He says, yes, but alas, on his wife. Sri Aurobindo knew what's going on inside. You can't cheat the divine. He says, yes, but alas, on his wife. Whereas there are people whom Sri Aurobindo said, you don't need meditation. You just need to do work. I've seen letter written in his handwriting and in mother's handwriting, different people. You don't need meditation. Work done with the right spirit is 10 times more effective because it's dynamic. इसी चीज को अलग अलग ढंग से कहा गया है जब कबीरदास कहते हैं साधो सहज समाधि बलि You don't have to enter into samadhi closing the eyes, but you are in that state of ecstasy and joining with the divine because you love him and you see him everywhere because you love him. Whatever you may be doing, you are doing it deep inside. This is the idea. You are not expecting a reward, some gift, what I will get, nothing. That itself is great freedom. Huh? Wanting is the greatest limitation of human beings. And the divine frees us from all this because what he gives us is much more valuable. When you have tasted, I often say, the Brahma Kamal, you have smelt it, then I don't even want to take the name. Everything that seems good will be very foul smelling. You won't seek that. Yes, please.
I have a question about what you said about intention. been brought up with the ideology that your intention matters much more than what you actually do. But, for example, we have billionaires in the world who are donating so much money to really good causes and they're helping you.
With bad intention. Yes. So, exactly. So, they don't achieve. It is there in all the scriptures. From the Gita, the Bhagavad Puran, which I am doing these days, to every scripture. You may donate billions. You will get nothing. Maybe some worldly goods. Maybe some name. Now, if that is what he is seeking, it's fine. He will get some name. He will get some tax exemption. He will get some influence.
I'm not talking about the billionaire.
I mean, anybody. Anybody.
I'm just saying that the people he's helping are still...
Yes. You miss the highest goal. Because help also. Now help, there is a variant. Now you have raised a different goalpost. So I'll answer that. What about helping? There are people who help others. Help also can be done with different intentions. Is it not true? So highest help. Because sometimes when we have doctors, help. Patients also believe they help. I am not very sure, convinced that they always help. Sometimes you cut a butterfly, the cocoon in which it is being crushed, you give comfort to the caterpillar, is very happy. Sir, thank you so much, you have saved me. But you have also stifled the emergence into a butterfly. There is the law of suffering in this world. Help comes from that. No, there is suffering you don't want, and we should not want, I agree. But if you don't address the real causes of suffering, sometimes we are doing only a makeshift arrangement, which may be good for temporary purposes, may not be good at all from the long-term perspective. Has the world advanced in terms of your consciousness? I'm not talking of the outer comforts. Since we have all kinds of helps available to us, from machines for everything, have we really advanced in terms of as our humanity? That is a question mark. I'm not saying we haven't. But I am just saying that is not the criteria. When we help, so there are two kinds of help. One is help to the body, help to of different kinds, which is very nice. I am not denying that part. But what is the greatest help that you can give to mankind? Let's start with that. Greatest help. Your idea of highest. Yeah. Still, let's say, we'll come to the question. Let's complete this. What is the greatest help we can give to mankind? From the roots or... Paracetamol therapy chalega. Chalega, wo jaruri hai. At that point you need, I am not saying. But from the possibility of pain, from the possibility of suffering. Yes. Huh? Empower them to self. She's a doctor, huh? So I have to be careful. Neurologist sitting there. So thing is, ultimately, one is empower them. And how do you empower somebody not to to transcend suffering? Not to suffer to the extent possible in this world. Let me put a qualifier. That's where the root cause of suffering, which those who probed this problem, they found the root cause of suffering is ignorance and, you know, shrinking into a small shell called the ego self. Me. Mine. How much suffering it creates, no? Mera tha. Kisne le liya. तो प्यार कहां चला गया? What is the solution that Yajnavalk, we talked about Yajnavalk, gives in the Isha Upanishad? It gives a one first sloka is about solution of suffering. It starts with that all this is for Vasudev. He is the Lord. He it belongs not to you, not to me, not to the society, not to government, not to the nation. It belongs ultimately to the divine who inhabits all this. Vasudevam sarvamiti yat kincha jagat tyam jagat. Whatever is ever in motion. Thought is in motion, feelings, that's a very cryptic sentence. Jagata. Jagata means that which moves. Everything moves. Money moves, thought moves. Everything. He is the sole proprietor, owner, rights. He doesn't care. He doesn't say forcibly because he takes a joy when you give spontaneously. That's the game he plays, only game. It belongs to him. He calls the last shot. But he doesn't say, hey, it's mine. Give it to me. He says, enjoy. Let me see how far you will go. And then he gives the secret. What is the secret? Tena tyaktena bhunjita magridha kasva suddhanam. Tena tyaktena, that renouncing tyaktena bhunjita, being delight. Strange, no? Because we are taught if I get, I'll get delight. Magridha, magridha, grid, you know, grid is gid. Want to snatch the leftovers. Magridha kasya svidhanam, that I must get it. Today you will get it, tomorrow you will lose it. Even when the thing is with you. It's a very sad lesson. So while all these helps have their place, everything in life has its place. But the real help is freedom from ignorance. To realize what is the nature, true nature of things. And that help, neither you can ask money for it, nor you can pay for it. That's why in India there was the concept of, with this we can go to another question. The concept was of Guru Dakshina. Why there was Guru Dakshina? Why didn't he put a fees to it? Main dunga gyan, aap mujhe paisa dena. Yes? Because you cannot pay for knowledge. See, that's it. He needs it. It's not like a person doesn't need. Everybody needs things. But you cannot put a price tag to something which is beyond. You see, freedom from ignorance. What price can you put for that? So the true gurus who really lived in that consciousness. That is something very beautiful I have discovered about Sri Aurobindo Ashram. Nobody asks you for a penny. You give joy of you are connecting. Nobody will catch you. Thoda deke jana, thoda. Nobody is doing a course where you have to pay some money for it. No. Because you cannot put a price tag. It is the highest thing that is possible. But yes, you can certainly, because you feel grateful in the heart, give something as a kind of offering. And that something which one gives as an offering is Guru Dakshina. There was never any price to it. And that's why it was said that if the Guru asks for something, you should never ever refuse. This was the whole idea, because you can never repay back. Even for doctors, this was a practice. You know what is written in Ayurveda? Ayurveda says, Yavat kanth gataha prana. Till you have breath in your throat, you better pay back to the doctor. Huh? You can, I mean. So I used to joke when I came to, I said, doctor should write this, but translate in English. Huh? Don't put a fees. See what happens. So that is the reason why Guru Dakshina came. Because you can never pay back for a few things. Love you cannot pay back. Wisdom you cannot pay back. Yes.
So that brings me to a question that how can we practice detachment without feeling that we have started caring less? Because I'm sure all of our lives are bound by expectations and attachment, and that sometimes leads to suffering. So how can we let go?
Practice. You don't have to let go anything. Practice love without attachment. You will experience so much joy that next time you will say, ye main kya kar rahi thi? It's just a question. And I'll give you one example. Since you said all of us have experienced it. You know when? Huh? The temples mein to sab maangne jaate hain. Ye de do, wo de do. Bhagwan to bechare lollipop baat rahe hain. Not realizing ki how can he go if 10 people say ki exam mein hum sabko first aana hai. Poor God has a tough time. The only relation where it comes close, humanly, beyond human, I am not speaking of that. Humanly, close is mother to a child. She just wants the good of the child, nothing else from the child. I am sure there are mothers here. They will all agree. Nothing else they want. But they want ki good of the child. That is the, if you call it expectation, well. Exactly the way divine deals with us. Wants the good of us, nothing else. Of course, the criteria of the mother's good because she is in ignorance is different from the divine's idea. Mother's idea of good may be, padha likha ke chala jaye California. That means consciously I am sending him to jail. The worst thing you can do to a person is send him abroad. I'm sorry, I have gone all over the world and I know what it is. It's a prison house. But people are trapped. You know, it's like first class prison. I know so many people and I'm sorry, but this is a fact. I'm saying this all this with great experience. 25 baar to America ja ke bol raha hu main. प्रिजन है, लेकिन वो बहुत कठिन है, क्योंकि वो आपको प्रिजन में रोज आपको मिल रही है लॉलीपॉप आपकी फेवरेट वाली फ्री में, घर में काम करने को बाई नहीं आती है, मशीन है, आपस में बात करने का टाइम नहीं है, बच्चों की चिंता हो रही है मेरे बच्चे क्या करेंगे, क्योंकि ऑल द किड्स आर नाउ इनटू हाय डैड बाय बाय. सो पॉइंट दैट आई एम सेइंग इज दैट वेल मदर्स ऑल्सो हैव द सेम कॉन्शियसनेस बट दे डोंट नो व्हाट इज बेस्ट फॉर द चाइल्ड. डिवाइन डज द सेम थिंग बट ही नोज व्हाट इज गुड फॉर अस. सो समटाइम्स ही लेट्स अस गो थ्रू अ प्योरिफाइंग ऑडियल ऑफ सफरिंग और ए चैलेंजिंग टेस्ट सो दैट वी ग्रो स्ट्रॉन्ग एंड बिकॉज ही नोज that if they just hold on, he will take us through everything. You must have read the story Jonathan Livingstone. Some of, that's it. Difficult. But he knows you can do it. And every seagull can do it. So why the link of faith is required? Now you understand. Because he has foreseen something, and when ordeal comes to us, it's because he is taking us through that purifying ordeal towards something much greater. So faith is required because we don't have the knowledge. Yes. That's very simple. How do you know that you have a connection with the divine? Very simple. What is the nature of divine? Let's start with that. Let's imagine what we think divine is. What kind of, will he be an agitated person or peaceful? Peaceful. Will he be, oh my God, kya ho gaya? Yeah, happy in all situation. Always happy, no? Will he have to struggle with knowledge? Are kya likha hai, kya karna hai? Or he has the knowledge at all his disposal? Omniscient. Will he be ki, even if he plays weak sometimes, will he be, are mere paas power nahi hai? He is playing at weak, like Shri Krishna playing Ranchod, with a full awareness ki kya hone wala hai. He has all power at his disposal. So will the divine be afraid? There is a very, if you read Sikh literature, so usme there are some qualities which are described in the beginning. He, obviously, divine for divine, there is no judgment because he has become all this. He can't judge himself, say, poor me in this person. So there is a line in Sikh scripture when it starts. Ek Omkar Satnam Vahe Guru Nirbhayo. Heard this? Nirbhayo. You are fearless. Fearless, you can stare in the eyes of death without fear because there is no death. Now these are the qualities, beauty, very important. Not just beauty of surroundings, beauty of thoughts, low vulgar things. That's not how the divine is, like the swan. What he eats, swan, what does swan eat? Its diet. How to differentiate between swan, kingfisher and all this? If you don't know, you just know they are white birds. Kingfisher is waiting for the fish. Swan will not eat that. It's vegetarian too. I mean, not just vegetarian. It is said that swan will go and from the lotus, the honey which is there, that the swan takes and draws energy from that. That's the swan. So you will know those, that quality comes. Because even if the world says, "Arey, take this easy path, do this wrong thing, you will get money, you will get this." The person who is growing in God nature will never do it. You remember the story of Socrates? Anyone knows? He is given hemlock to drink and die. Why? Because he has opposed the state. I mean, opposed. Anyways, that's a long story. I'll not go into it because I love stories and I'll start narrating there. So the last night of Socrates is that his disciple called Critos, he's a rich man. He says, I'm going to give all these guys money. I have got silver coins, bribe them all. Come with me, Socrates, all the gates are open for you. Socrates is quiet for a while. Then he says, no, I will not go. If you would help me, pay, there is a man from whom I owe a cock. I have not paid him back. Can you pay for that cock for me? That's how he drinks hemlock and departs. Now you see, Socrates ran away and Socrates who stayed his ground, there would be world of difference. Something very similar happened. When Sri Aurobindo came here, the French government, they gave him land in Algeria. Algeria belonged to the French government. He said, sir, we have a lot of pressure from the British. Everything we'll arrange for you, organize for you, big this, that, 100 things. And all the disciples, ah, now finally, you know. Shobhinda stays quiet for a moment and then he says, I will not budge an inch from here. Because that was the chosen place given by the divine. He didn't know whether he will have his evening meal or not. They're letters. Now that steadfastness, dridhata, begins to develop. Because divine is like that. He is the most obstinate character in the world. You'll understand it if you read Francis Thomas poem, Hound of Heaven. He says, I'm running away, he's coming everywhere. I'm hiding in a cave and he comes. He doesn't leave me only. Once he catches you, he doesn't let go. Dangles you. Yeah.
Sorry, I have a question going back to what you were talking about certain alleviation of suffering is not conducive to growth.
No, I'm not making that statement. I'm saying that's not the only thing that we need to understand. We should go back. Somebody is having pain, you give paracetamol. But if you think you have done a big task, you have missed the point. That's all I'm saying.
I wanted to ask that, how does one know help that's coming from, say, the divine, or help that may appear as just help? Because like it just reminded me of that, you know, that story that people say where this man is drowning and then it's like, God save me, and
boats
come by.
The story, that story is of a different kind. That story is about the person drowning, boats coming, he refuses, he says, God will save me. That story is about a person needing help and is waiting for some kind of a God figure to come, whereas help is coming his way. That story is about help. And help comes in 100 ways. We fail to see that it is God who is helping us in countless ways. Meaning thereby, if somebody gives me money when I am in distress, I am putting it on brass tacks, I should understand it's not just this person, but God gave me this. And it'll make a world of difference. Story example. Karna made a big mistake. What mistake he made? Duryodhan has helped me, therefore I must live according to Duryodhan. If Karna felt that, well, at that point of time I needed help and divine helped me, and now he is asking me to step out from a war which I know to be wrong, and therefore my obligation should be only to this truth which is awakened in my heart, Karna would have been a different person. So that story is about help, that all help comes from the divine in different ways. As to money, if one feels like giving money, naturally inside, do it. But one must never be under the illusion that this is some kind of ultimate help. Some people become obsessive about philanthropy. They keep giving. That's what it. That there is hierarchy of help. And the highest help is wisdom, knowledge, which cuts away ignorance. Not just knowledge, maine medicine padha diya, physics padha diya. But the law of in this creation which cuts the... There is a very nice line which I want to, you know, in Sanskrit it says, Vidyante hrid granthi chidyanti sarva sanshya. So the strings that behind which the truth is hiding, the heart strings, cut asunder. And that, then what happens? All the doubts vanish from you. So that is the ultimate help. As long as we understand it, we may not be able to do it, but we must know ki whatever is being given is very nothing. It's okay to do that, but don't become a Bill Gates. I mean, it's okay. Yeah.
That brings me to another thing we spoke about where we were talking about meditation as seeking versus work as seeking and the space from which you do work. If you're someone who, I don't know, like for me, if someone says, try to work in service of God, it doesn't mean anything to me. I need something concrete that I believe is going to have an impact. And if someone's working from that space with intentions to help a concrete issue in the world, does it not make it equally spiritual?
It's not equally spiritual, but it will prepare you. If you live by the truth of your being, it will prepare you for that. You will arrive at that point. I quite agree. And one should not do unnaturally. I mean, I have gone through this phase. I didn't believe in God because I found him too much otherworldly and that doesn't suit my interest. That, well, people are having issue here. You can't tell that the solution lies in Vaikunth or heaven. Or when you die, we'll take you in some... So I had a very similar thing. So I said, doesn't matter. I will help people here. That was exactly my state. But I wanted to do it honestly, not for money and all this. Because I said, phir kya hua? Naam ke liye, paise ke liye, toh phir koi point nahi hai. And then it is a preparation. Then a time comes when you understand that divine takes you in your service. Now, does it mean you will change what you are doing? No. It need not be so. You may continue to practice medicine. But you now know the limitations of what you are doing and you know the greatness of the task that the divine is fulfilling through you. You know that as one of the doctors, he was WHO director, Dr. Besti, was sharing. He said, well, two things which he used to love very much. He said, one of them was that, well, I only give medicine, God heals. This is a well-known saying of many. Some develop a lot of akada. Hum kar rahe, hum kar rahe. So, but that's the state of humility. And another thing he says, I have learned that I don't know whether always relief of suffering is good or not. And he would quote a prayer of Kunti. Kabir has also said something very similar. He said, in moments of distress, I have remembered you most. So, I don't want to say further. He says that, Lord, give me distress time to time so that I don't forget you. This is not the ideal state. Agreed. You should remember when everything is good. That's what Kabir says. Jo dukh mein sumiran kare. Sukh dukh mein sumiran sab kare. Sukh mein kare na koi. Jo sukh mein sumiran kare to dukh kahe ko hoy. So that's the perfect state. But most human beings forget because life is comfortable. They once again go back to their usual routine. So we must know suffering as a purpose. It should not move us to high philosophical, oh, there is no God. Look, that is the... We should understand that there is... I mean, suffering should not be there. Agreed. But there is a condition to that. Condition for that is freedom from ignorance. If I don't fulfill that condition. Child may say that it's a great suffering that I'm going to school. A lot of children feel that. Isn't it? Some enjoy because it's not the teaching part. They want to do naughtiness. Mere liye to yahi tha. Jaake masti karna hai. But there are many children for whom it's quite a suffering, by the way. Should the parent say, no, my child, stay at home, very, my kuchu bacha, baby. Or should the parent send? That's it. Suffering is like that. It's a double-edged sword. You can turn it into a tremendous means of progress. Or you can turn it into becoming a cynic. Like many people that there is no God, there is no... Okay, fine. It's their choice. It's perfectly fine. Each one is free. So we have to have the right outlook towards things, towards life. And realistic outlook. Many people coming through the flame of suffering, they really turn very beautifully toward the divine. I have seen, being a doctor myself, that they go through the suffering. That time they don't understand. It's a purifying ordeal. When they come out, it's like they're stepping into another zone. It's like a tunnel to emergency. I can see many smiling people. Yeah, we all understand, relate with it, okay? Any other question? Yes.
One of the things I read in Mother's Home is she says that if you also talk about this in your talks, that you need to be open to her, to receive.
Yes. Very good question. Open to her means what? First, an example. You put a, you know, Niagara fall, you take a lota or some patram or whatever, and you put it like this, and you come back. What has happened? You have received nothing. Empty. You go into an ocean, put it like this, you receive nothing. Now, opening means, what do you have to do? Turn towards the divine. So when I go into, let's say, an ashram context, it could happen anywhere. I mean, divine is everywhere. So many paths are there. So I'm not saying only ashram, but I can connect with that more authentically. So I may stand in front of the mother and I say, but why is she wearing a lipstick? There are people who ask like that. That's not a divine way of living. Now, what is coming in the way? My idea of divine. She should be wearing gerua. Why is Aurobindo not wearing gerua? He is at least wearing a dhoti to our satisfaction. If he wore a jeans, will he be less Aurobindo? I am asking this. No, because in dream vision, you may see him wearing a jean. That's why I am asking. Will he be less Aurobindo? Nahi na? Par kya hoga attitude? Jeans? Conditioning of the mind. So similarly, we stand before the divine, we may close ourselves and we are judging the divine. Iski do badi interesting kahani hai. Amal Kiran, of course, all of you must be knowing, he was from Mumbai, he was from the Parsi community. And he comes there and he sees Aurobindo, and afterwards people ask, what is your impression of Aurobindo? he is very smart and handsome. He is capable of being my guru. He has read all his writings. He is very intellectual. So he says, he is super intelligent. He is capable of being my guru. When Sri Aurobindo is asked, what is your impression of Amal Kiran? He said, oh, he is very handsome. Now you see, as you see, of course he loved him, and that story is a wonderful story of how he carries the disciple from where he is to where he could reach. So we should always understand this, that we may be in front of the divine, but measuring him with our own little standards. You see, there is, I'm sorry, now I'm getting into the mood of quoting something in Hindi, okay? So in Hindi, when Shri Krishna goes to Kuru Sabha to give the last option for peace, he tells, see, Pandava are agreeing to 5 villages. That's what you have provided. Please, give it, let's settle it. He says, no, not even a sui ki nok. I am not going to give anything. They can be with their in-laws, whatever they want. Nothing to them. And then Shri Krishna reveals something. Hurt? Anybody has heard? Rashmi Rathi? Hari ne tab yon hunkar kiya, apna swarup vistar kiya. Dagmag dagmag dikkaj dole, Bhagwan kupit hokar bole. Yeh dekh pavan mujh mein le hai, yeh dekh anal mujh mein le hai. Veeron udyachal mera bhal dekh, pattal mere patal dekh. Veeron se pati hui bhu hai, ab dekh yahan kis mein tu hai. He shows him the future. What is Duryodhan's reaction? Ah, maya karke gaya, pakdo isko. That's when he says, na, aha Duryodhan, bandh mujhe, zanjeer badi kya laya hai, tu mujhe bandhne laya hai. So that is his reaction, that he is doing all this magic and I don't care, I am the best. Look at Arjun's reaction. Same thing is shown to Arjun, same Vishwarup darshan. What does Arjun say? Tamadhidevam purusho purano. I can see neither the beginning nor the end. You are the one, the transcendent, the one who dwells in my heart, in every creature. Tell me your command and I'll obey it. Nashto moha, that's what he says. Same thing. So in front of the divine, if we hold tight to the ego, we get nothing. We come back either disheartened or whatever, because we are judging, we are shut in the ego. But if we go to the divine, letting go of this ego, offering at his feet, you make me what you want me to become. I don't care. I just care for what you want me to become. Remember a song? Ghazal? What does she, the lady, it's a lady means the soul goes. It's written by a man, Amir Khusro. He says, apni chhab bana ke main peeke ghar gai. Chhab dekhi jo piya ki apni chhab bhul gai. And then what does she say? Chhap tilak sab chini mo se naina milai ke. You snatched away everything that I called myself. There is nothing now I can call myself. Such a person, then the divine fills. That's what is meant by opening. Means, and this is something within the heart. To call the divine, not because of what I will get out of him, for the joy of it. To give to the divine, to think of the divine, to remember the divine. Why? Because what else is worth thinking about? This is not a state which can come by somebody saying. It comes. Life experiences or a special grace will lead us to that point where one day we'll say, why is it that I still call this myself ticket? And the more we give, the more we'll feel vaster, released from one more bond. We'll say, ki, thank God, one more is gone. Take away this last bond which is sticking. So that's what means opening. It should start with simply calling the mother, remembering her, thinking of her, reading her books. But as I said, not with the idea of judging, but simply with the faith that she will do what needs to be done. That faith is important. Faith creates the opening, aspiration creates the opening. Yeah. And for that, live in the company of those who will inspire. Because many times we are surrounded by people who say, oh, there was one C.S. Nair, president of Singapore. He said, nice work she has done, good lady. But why they call her mother, I don't know. So he goes there thinking he will say, congratulations, you have done a good work. When he went there, he forgot everything. Mother just smiled. He was at her, in his inner lap, not realizing what's happening. So we may take that position that I know what God is, and many atheists are like that. They have not given serious thought. There are genuine atheists who have given a thought, But there are some who don't care. Look at the world, what it is, there is no God. It's like idiotic, I mean, you have not even given a thought to things. Now, such people gain nothing because they are not open. They will, wherever they go, they will find defects. Even in a divine place, even if the divine manifests, they are like Duryodhan. But there are others who are seekers. They may have doubts, but they are seekers. And when they stand in front of the divine, they give themselves. So it's a question of turning the vessel upward in seeking or turning it downward when one gets nothing. Yes.
So when we talk about Duryodhan, I have a little different way of thinking about this. If you go back to his childhood, his name was Suryodhan. But because he was not, they called him Duryodhan. In Gurukul, the Pandavas, each one had something good back, right? Duryodhan was actually good at all the weapons. But still it was Dronacharya always...
Yes.
Arjun.
Yes.
So I feel...
injustice was done.
Him not being able to see the divine was because of his conditioning that he had to constantly prove himself.
So, pehle main us story ko ekdam correct story jo honi chahiye. Duryodhan is not a bad name. I know about Suryodhan and Duryodhan, but Duryodhan is not a bad name. You know what Duryodhan means technically? Durjay Yodha. He was recognized as somebody who was not easy to conquer. Duryodhan means that in Yudh he is tremendous. You cannot win over him easily. He was a great. Now, coming to Dronacharya favoritism. Now, look at it. It's not only Duryodhan. Dronacharya favored Arjun over everyone, including Yudhishthir, including everyone. But why did he favor him? There is a very interesting story to it. So, the story goes that Ashwatthama is his own son. No, he is the closest and he loved him, doted upon him. So, he is ready to teach Ashwatthama every kind of thing, which Ashwatthama didn't deserve. As a guru, you have to give it to the deserving. So, there are two stories. One is where it's all answered in the Mahabharata, if you see. One of them is when there is a toy crocodile planted by him to test the genuineness of each of his. So, the crocodile catches Dronacharya and everybody is, he calls for help. And they are looking for, Duryodhan says, isko bulao, usko bulao. Everybody is calling something, what to do. Arjun is on spot, picks an arrow, shoots right there and finishes the whole matter. There is no thinking for him. His identity had become such that when he is asked to introduce himself, when he enters the Indraprastha, after all of them have received education, all of them introduce fancifully. And Arjun introduces himself only with one. Arjun is very extraordinary. He is a yogi. He says, Drona Shishya Arjun. He says, you don't have parents and all. He says, right now I have no other identity. Arjun is the one who, when he was learning a lesson which Dronacharya hadn't taught. What was he learning? He was learning how to shoot arrows at night. Because he had perfected the art of shooting in the morning. So he was shooting at night. And one day Dronacharya sees him. He says, that's why one of the names of Arjun is, he who has conquered his sleep. He was the only warrior who could fight without sleeping at night for days. That was the practice. He was not just, I mean, Duryodhan what? All the people together would come nowhere near him in terms of what he did. And therefore he was a chosen one by Krishna who does tweaks the rules of creation for him because he's an instrument. Now Dronacharya, as far as he was not against Duryodhan. Yes, he favored Arjun over everybody except his son. So Duryodhan should not take offense to that. Nobody was there in the league. And even if he took offense, supposing I have a problem with my teacher who didn't take care of me, should I turn a whole nation and all his brothers? There is recently one of the Twitter handles, somebody post against NRIs in US. He says, I was rejected, I am from Canada, I was rejected, I am not going to disclose the identity. Therefore, I will see to it that all the NRIs get into trouble. That's what anybody would say, this is silly. But this is exactly what Duryodhan did. Like a haughty child. His warrior skills, nobody can question that. And he was, even Shri Krishna says. But his.
Doesn't that also show the passion for his teacher? That he wanted the teacher's approval so much that when he didn't get it.
No. There was no passion for his teacher. He doesn't care for his teacher at all. If you read the Mahabharata, he doesn't care for the teacher. He cares for himself. Duryodhan throughout the Mahabharata is shown as a person who is me, myself. Not even his clan, not even his people, not even his father and mother. If you read through the character of Duryodhan, he's very powerful, very strong. There is no doubt. Veer, he is. That is also true. He would not run away from a battle. But ego is like gigantic. Ambition is gigantic. That's what marks Duryodhan. And which was a nemesis. It's not, again, he's not a bad guy. We should not look at people as bad or good. We should learn the lesson that you may be very powerful, but if you live only for yourself, destiny will one day catch upon you. That's what happens. He was so close. Yeah, please.
In regards to that, you mentioned about suffering,
yeah,
seeking, and yoga, there's tapas, swadhyaya, swadhyaya, namadhi. Is the suffering that you create, like through yoga practice, physically and mentally challenging, that leads you to seek the truth and surrender?
Okay, so suffering vis-a-vis yoga, I'm putting it in a very general way, okay. That's very simple. Okay, I'll start with a little story. I love stories. So when you go to Lord Shiva, what do you see first? There is a snake, Vasuki, longest snake in the world. Now I am using this in my own language. This is my own little story, that this is like we have in psychology, neurotic paradox. Here it is spiritual paradox. So spiritual paradox is if you go near him, there is a snake whom you are scared of. But who is wearing the snake? Shiva, the giver of the boon. What will you do? You will run away afraid from the snake, or you will fall at the feet of Shiva. This is the paradox that comes to people's life when they seek the spirit or the divine. On one side there is suffering, possibility of suffering, which nobody guarantees that if you turn to God all your sufferings will go away. No, let's be very clear. But all the more reason. Now you see, people use two logics. One is that, what is the use? I am going to God, still mere jeevan mein ye ho raha hai. This is one logic. Other logic is that all this is there. I don't understand why it is there. But I have a chance of all chances to surrender myself completely and what is called in Indian thought, something very beautiful, cross the bhavsagar. Cross the very ocean of suffering. I take my chances of being bitten by Vasuki the snake, and yet surrender at the feet of Shiva. Now this is a choice. It's not based on logic, but something within the human heart says it. Suffering is anyways there. If you turn to ordinary life, turn to God, it's not like God, okay, now onwards, all will be good, hunky-dory. No, God can promise that. But the difference is, if you are in ordinary life, you are continuing with that thodi kushi, thoda gam, thodi kushi, thoda gam. Thodi hasi, thodi aankhe nam. Ye chal raha hai. I'll translate in English. In ordinary life, there is little happiness, little sorrow. It'll continue ad infinitum, ad nauseam. That's the nature of life. Why it is there, we can discuss that. But let's have a real life problem. Is not about discussing, okay, I have understood. No, real life problem is in ordinary life, that's how it is. When you turn to the divine, it's not that that moment onward there will be no problem. No. But now you have begun to move out of the zone in which there is suffering and happiness. Am I ready to give happiness? Then I am ready to lose suffering. But what I get in exchange? Delight. Pure delight. Shuddha ananda. So there are some who intuitively understand it, or they are ready. And they say, fine, I put everything at stake. That's how those who have gone before us have done it. Karke thaiya thaiya, teri talwar ke niche mein nachiya. Some are ready to do it, some are not ready. Well, they will become ready, because once bitten by the Vasuki, you will find peace nowhere except ultimately at the feet of Shiva. So there are two kinds of suffering that come in life. One is in the course of things. Another is because now God is chasing you. And if God is chasing you and you are afraid of going near, then the Vasuki is going to come near. And ultimately you will have no choice left except saying, here am I, bundle of all kinds of things, take me. This is the normal story. That's how suffering is described also. Daivik, daihik, bhautikta. Bhautik, daihik, daivik, tapa. Because ultimately, daivik tapa is the one which is sanctioned by the godlike beings to help you come closer. It's a kind of compassion which we don't understand. Yes, please.
Who is divine?
Ah, wonderful. Who is divine? What is divine? Okay, very simple. We all have some highest conception of something. We all have, isn't it? Now, stretch your highest conception to the ultimate Let's say if I were to ask you and everybody, what is your idea, conception of highest? Yeah, quickly, anything. Highest state possible.
Equality.
Huh?
Equality.
Equality. Samatva yoga uchyate. Yes?
For me, I'm learning to understand that divine is in everyone and everywhere.
Yes, that is the answer.
For me, when you look for it, if you see it, it is there in each and everywhere.
Yes, wonderful. So, but
I don't know why we go to seek the divine when it is right there.
So, seek is because, I'll explain. That's a different question. I'll come to that. Or rather, a different expression. So, first is the divine is what is the highest in my conception. Now, it may not be the highest. Don't worry. It'll pull us to the next level. Reach there. If I think equanimity as, in fact, Patanjali Yoga Sutra says that. Samatvam Yoga Uchyate. Many people regard it as the highest. Though Samatva is the base for something still greater. It's okay. If you ask Kena Upanishad, it says Raso Vesaha. So it's important to understand that let me seek my highest, whatever it is. Let's not put a label or definition to divine because then I am limiting him. And reach there and he will take me. That allows for plurality and multiplicity. The day I say divine is what I believe in, I have created a religion and that's dangerous. We all know that. The other part is equally true that the divine is in everything and everyone. And this is so wonderful. Till somebody comes and twists my arms and gives me a slap. I can make this statement when I have experienced the divine in the one. Not less he loves when most he strikes. If I have experienced this, that when I have been thrown from the cliff like Prahlad. What does Prahlad experience? He is actually thrown. And he experienced a very beautiful description of the divine vision in the Purana. That, you know, Hari comes and takes him in his lap. Or when like Mirabai, Vish ka pyala pi gai Mira. If I have reached that point, see, it's a sincerity. I can speak about it, think about it, but I must live it. If I am living this experience, then there is no seeking required. But if I am not living this experience, if it's just an intellectual framework, then seeking is required to make the thought real. That's why it is, the word is realize. So realize means, like Sri Aurobindo is in the Alipur jail. He actually saw the divine in everyone. That the eternal truth, Sarva Khalvidam Brahman. Now, if I am living this reality and it's not just a thought, if petrol becomes very costly and people are fighting like crazy and it's difficult to fly out of Mumbai, then this will be truth. Otherwise, it will be a preparation for truth. So, intellectual idea is very good, but intellectual idea should be a beginning to realize it in our life. That's one part. But then after we discover divine is in everything, everyone, is that the end of the story, that the other question which I am raising. I am free. I have realized divine is in me, in everybody. What should I do? Should I do something or should I call it quits? That's where the question lies. To be or not to be, but at another level. Yes, please.
Is religion essential to achieve the divine?
No, not at all. One can be most irreligious and find divine. It's quite more easily for the irreligious, I'm sorry to say that, because religious people are stuck in dogmas. Because I'm talking of the externalities of religion. So, because religious people are very difficult to, because they are stuck. And more so if you say my religion. So you are stuck in a belief system which you have read and therefore you believe, you have realized nothing, experienced nothing, by you I mean people. And therefore, but divine often comes to those who are, you know, they are beautiful story. There is a story of Sri Aurobindo called A Dream. So that story goes that one day there is a poor Brahmin. Brahmins always poor people. Okay, that's a joke. I don't take it seriously. So he is praying to God and Krishna is his... it's a long story. Huh? Read it later, Aram se. A dream. So he says, Kesta is one of the names of Sri Krishna. I don't like you. You see, look at my condition. I am so poor. My wife gets angry. It could have been a lady speaking about husband. Huh? That's more common. But anyway, he says, My child doesn't listen to me. And in front of me, there is Teen Kodi Seal, super rich fellow. He orders food from Swiggy every day and I have to just worry about, you know, if I get you, I am going to really beat you up. I'll tie your hands and beat you up. As he says that, Krishna appears. Like a baby. He says, tie me. Should have been the story. Huh? It's not just any story. He says, He says, I'm Krishna. You were calling me to tie me. I've come. He says, no, sir. I was just, you know, joking around. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that. He suddenly realizes. He says, no, I'm very happy because you took me for real. People don't take me for real. They do all kinds of puja, put tikka, all this. They don't even care. But you took me for real and I'm very happy about it. So honestly, you can do it. Then he says, actually, it's not about you. See, this fellow, Teen Kodi Seal. He says, oh, that is your question. Come with me. So he says, come with you means what? He says, we'll walk in and see the real situation because you are imagining things. So he says, imagining I see him in comfort and luxury and Rolls Royce and fleet and if I view, you are asking me to do something, we'll get caught. So he says, don't worry, I am the thief. I steal people's hearts without their realizing it. So what is entering his house? I can easily enter. Come with me. So both of them go together. Somehow people don't recognize, realize. And he says, he looks at Teen Kodi Seal sleeping on his, I don't know what is it now. I have only heard of Dunlop. But whatever it is, super comfort. He says, see the AC. Do you see that? Look at my house. He says, wait. Now we'll enter into his consciousness. He said, don't try to do all these things. He said, come with me. And when he goes, he sees he's restless. He's full of, he's unhappy. He's sad and 100 reasons. Must have seen this movie Bedazzled, if any of you. I recommend it. It came maybe a decade or two decades back. It got an Oscar. Bedazzled. He says, he's so unhappy. He says, take me out. He comes out. He says, so you want to be like him? He says, no, I don't mean that way. And then there are many things in the story where you discover the truth of God's working. So God is cares nothing for religion. I had noted this from people, you know, this in my book, Death, Dying and Beyond. One of the real stories where out of body, near death experience of someone. And he described that he had that light, the being, you know, as they call it. And he asked him, tell me which religion you favor the most. And the reply he gets is, frankly, I don't care. Frankly, I don't care. Religions, ideologies are boundaries, cabins. They are needed at a point of time. But ultimately, one has to go beyond. Look at Meera. What religion was she following? She was bitten by love for Krishna. She tells him, when did Krishna reveal to him himself to her, you know? When she is thrown out of the palace. And she carries that little idol of Krishna, golden idol. And she sleeps and that night some thief comes and steals the idol. She says, one thing which I valued and you have not even stopped that. What kind of creature are you? That is the time that Sri Krishna reveals himself to her. And he says, you think I am that? Come, I'll show you myself. It's a very beautiful, amazing experience of actually seeing the Krishna in everything and everywhere. And that transforms her from Mirabai the devotee to Mirabai the saint. So the divine cares for only one thing, and that is sincerity in the seeking. He cares for the truth in the heart. All the rest he knows is kachra. One may do all the right things according to the book. He doesn't care. He cares for that little thing in the heart. There one cannot deceive him. One can deceive the whole world. See, I am such a pujarin. I am reading this passages from whatever, Hanuman Chalisa every day. If Hanumanji comes, first he will give a knock to. He says, you are behaving like Ravan and you are calling me. I am not coming. It's my grace. Because if I come, first I am going to chastise you. You are trying to fool me? So, but we do all these things. We think we have paid our debt to God. Thank God the God doesn't come, you know, because the first thing he'll say, like Tagore's story, what do you have to give me? So Tagore says, I wanted to ask things, but he asked me something. I didn't know what to do. In a hurry, I gave him one grain of gehun ka dana, wheat, grain. And he walked away. He didn't allow me to take out my chit. He goes and tells his wife. His wife says, such a fool you are. You have again made a mistake. You should have had the chit. Let him ask. You should have given the chit. He says, I can't help it. He asked me something. I forgot. I gave him one grain. And then he said, both of them are sad when they drop the, he opens the sack. He sees there is one wheat grain which has turned into gold. And then he laments, why didn't I give my all? Okay. Anything, last question we can take probably.
So how we as a common man should be?
How to?
We as a common people leave and go for the
common, I don't know what is common. To me, man is common or uncommon based on what his aspiration is. All of us who are sitting here are not common people. Common people may be having all kinds of intellectual knowledge and all that, but they would be sitting there, and if you go and tell them that there is a class going on Sri Aurobindo and yoga, they say, we don't care. That's common. Common man is defined by his aspiration. So in mathematics, we have LCM and HCF. I find it a very good example. All of us know a little bit of mathematics. LCM is the least common multiple. LCM. HCF is highest common factor. So what is the least common multiple? House, money, more and more money, more money. LCM. I may be regarded in people's eyes as Bill Gates. It doesn't make a damn difference. Highest common factor, rarest of rare, the divine, seeking the divine. So same thing applies. Common and uncommon is by our seeking, not by our getting. Somebody, and this is the great teaching everywhere. It's not that I am saying so. In India, we respect Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa. He has not even completed his schooling. When Ishwar Chand Vidyasagar goes to him, he says, bows down to him, so Sri Ramakrishna had a style. So he says, Sagar aaj nale ke paas aaya hai, because he is Ishwar Chand Vidya Sagar. He laughingly says, and Sri Ramakrishna and Vidya Sagar says, jab nala bhar jaye swarg ke samudra se, wo nala nahi hai, wo to sagar ka bhi mahasagar ho gaya hai. He knew that who he is. When Swami Vivekananda, erudite scholar who could recite slokas and anything from anywhere, he gives a lecture in Chicago. People say, oh, what a wonderful. What does he say? He says, you people don't know my guru? He can make 1,000 Vivekanandas like me. So, to an ordinary eye, Sri Ramakrishna, there are books written like that. I have refuted some of them, like Jeffrey Kripal and some of them. What Sri Ramakrishna was, they are all kinds of nonsense people. But any seeker knows that he is of much greater value than a king coming before you. So this is the difference. So man is common or uncommon based on his aspiration. So that each one of us has to see, that what is it that we aspire. That is a choice, which is freedom of choice given to us. Nobody should tell anybody what he should seek. So we may seek for temporary things, transient things. We will get them and we lose them. That's the law. That's called prayas. Or we may seek for the highest good, that's called Shreyas. That made the difference to Nachiketa's story. Nachiketa is told by Yama, you take as much as you want. He says, will you one day take it away? He says, well, I'll take it away. Tell me that which you cannot even take away. He says, you are asking me for that in whose banquet even I am a little spice. He says, I am asking for that. Where can I find that? Then he gives a series of examples. One of them is that is seated in your heart. Then another example, that is Aditi, the Divine Mother, that is seated in your heart. If you see it, all your sins and suffering will vanish. And he says that you have asked that which nobody ever asks, rarest of rare. Therefore, I will tell you the secret. Very beautiful Upanishad, one of the wonderful Upanishad, Katha Upanishad. It's about the dialogue between a 9-year-old and Yama, the god of death. Okay, so may we all grow in that wonderful light, in her love, in her beauty, in her joy, in her peace, in a wisdom, in a strength. And we become capable of receiving all that the Divine wants to give. Divine wants to give us infinity because we are His inheritors. This is a passage from Savitri. A mutual debt binds man to the Supreme. We are sons of God and must be, even as He, His human portion, we must grow divine. Our life is a paradox with God for key. So that choice is something which all of us have to make, independent of anybody else. One more line I am remembering since I spoke about it. Amir Khusro, he says it. He speaks about love, but love of the divine, highest love. He says, Khusro darya prem ka jaki vaki ulti dhar. Anybody knows, remembers, can complete? No, okay. Khusro darya prem ka vaki ulti dhar. It's a stream of love. Stream of love is, works in a reverse way, strange way. What is the strange way? Jo ubhra, so dub gaya. Jo duba, so par. You want to play safe? God is there, but let me also, I am also there, little bit of God, little bit of me. Okay, He will play by your rules, which means actually lost. The other is jo duba. I give myself completely, unreservedly. He is the one who goes across. Okay, thank you. Jai Ma. Thank you so much. Ma.